Okay, good evening and welcome to the Hipsid podcast with me, Rabbi Simcha, and my co-host, Rebbetzin Sherry Barkley.
Shalom.
It's been a while, Sherry.
It has.
How is life in Edmonton?
It's very cold. It's minus one Fahrenheit steady for a couple weeks now. It gets even colder than that, but I'm trying to keep it relatable.
Sherry, how are you staying warm for the listeners? We all want to know.
I have two cats.
All right.
And, you know, haven't really, you know, it's not like I skin them alive or anything, but they.
Why would you even go? Okay, moving on. Moving swiftly on. Okay, just to bring in, we have a phenomenal guest tonight. And we spoke yesterday, Sherry. And to be honest, permission to talk freely?
Go ahead.
You were in a dark place, Sherry. You sounded low. You sounded dark. You were one foot on the stool. And it got real. Then suddenly I told you about, right?
Yeah, you would be too if you missed
that's
on.
That's true.
If
that's
you
true.
Missed we, on Bitcoin and GameStop this year.
Let's stop right there. Yeah, we went there. And when I told you the guest, suddenly everything changed. The
yes.
clouds dissipated, the sun shone, and there was hope in the world.
Well, so I was so excited to have to know the guest.
I know, we have a celebrity. Okay, so our guest, celebrity guest this week, I've been trying to get him on the podcast since the very beginning, but it took a global pandemic for this guy to stay home and finally lower himself and slum it on the Hipsid podcast. So we have special celebrity superstar guest, Adam Realman Rin. Are you there?
I certainly am. How are you? Wow, that was some introduction there.
I didn't even start the introduction. Okay, oh. Adam, your beard has grown. It's grown in length, in breadth. It's getting wider. You look like the Baal Shem Tov of Coney Island. Okay, I'm going to read out the bio. Yeah.
So that's a title I've never been called.
Well, get used to it. Okay, so here's the bio. This is a biggie. Growing up in the legendary Coney Island section of Brooklyn, Adam developed a love for the sideshow. Okay, we're going to break it down. What does that mean, a love of the sideshow? Where did it start? How did it start?
So... all right. It started, so there's a form of entertainment called sideshow entertainment, which was made famous in Coney Island at the turn of the last century. So we're talking the, you know, early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, through, for the most part, the 1950s and 60s. And this entertainment was, it was a couple of things. You had sword swallowers and strong men and fire eaters. And then you had, you know, what were called the freaks, the people who were born different.
Like and me and Sherry.
We just met, so I couldn't tell you. But they had a lot of these sideshows, or what they were called at the time, freak shows, out of Coney Island. Now, I'm not that old, but I stumbled across the sideshow, sideshows by the seashore in the early mid 80s. I was walking on the boardwalk, and what last week was a vacant storefront was now lined with sideshow banners, these colorful banners, and a guy outside with a microphone trying to get you into the show. And I was completely enthralled by this. I fell in hook, line, and sinker. I listened to the guy and I waited online and I paid my money and went in and was exposed to a world unlike anything I had ever seen before. I mean, there was the sword swallower, there was the fire eater, there was a guy named Otis Jordan. Now, Otis Jordan was wheeled up on the stage in a wheelchair. His arms and legs didn't work. And he had a tray on his wheelchair, and he would roll a cigarette using only his mouth, no hands, no feet, light the cigarette using only his mouth with a match, and then talk about, you know, what his condition was. The tattooed man, head to toe covered in tattoos. And I was just completely amazed by this. And we go back week after week after week after week until about, it's close to 20 years already. And I saw online Sideshow School, where you can actually learn how to do some of these feats. You can't learn how to roll and light a cigarette with your mouth, but you can learn how to swallow a sword and spit
They don't
fire.
Teach those things in school, to be honest, Adam.
They teach them in
Sideshow. You've got to go to special school for this.
That's correct. It's a Sideshow school. So I took the class and just started performing. As it turns out, about 4 or 5 years later, I started teaching the class. They had asked me to run the Sideshow School. And I'm now the dean and professor of Coney Island USA Sideshow School.
You became a macha.
So I'm like the Rebbe of Sideshow Schools here.
You're the Rebbe? Okay, this is like vaudeville, P.T. Barnum, circus. I love it. I grew up in the north of England next to a seaside town called Blackpool, if you're familiar. And I love Coney Island has that grit, that charm, the nostalgia. There's something very beautiful that draws me to Coney Island. So just to go through some of the acts that you perform, and Sherry, feel free to jump in at any moment, because I know Sherry was very interested in this topic. Sherry, should we go through some of the acts performed? You ready, Sherry?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sherry, Adam, is a sword swallower. Okay. How did that start? And can I ask a personal question, Adam? Sure. It's real, right? It's all real. This is happening for real.
All real, all alive. And I'll tell you exactly how it's done.
It's not so, David Copperfield over here. This is not.
No. All right. When it comes to, you know, what are called the sideshow arts, there are techniques, but there are no tricks to anything. Yeah. So in order to swallow a sword, you really have to have both mind and body control. All right. Now, when I had learned to swallow a sword, you don't start with something as rigid as a sword. You'll hurt yourself. You start with something a lot more flexible, something that has a lot of give to it. So if you're lucky enough to get it down past your voice box and you retch and you bend, it's going to bend with you. So you're not using a sword. So it was a matter of practicing.
Sherry just grabbed the mic. Sherry, what do you want to say?
I just don't understand how you still can't hurt yourself practicing.
Oh, you certainly can hurt yourself. You can hurt yourself practicing. You can hurt yourself performing. And I'll tell you about the last time that I hurt myself. But when you're learning how to do it, I explain that learning how to swallow a sword is like quitting cigarette smoking. If you've ever been a cigarette smoker.
It's like riding a bike. You know, you just.
Well, it is like riding a bike because now, you know, during
no, COVID, it's not.
Do all of your students
I'm not
have
doing it a whole lot? And do, yet, anytime I have a Zoom show and I do it, it goes right down. So
do
it is
all
like
of your do all of your students have health insurance?
No, but we do make them sign a hold harmless agreement.
Very nice. By the way, just for the gentle listener at home who's retching in the car right now, do not try this at home. Do not sue me. Do not get involved. Adam, some of the other things you do, you are a fire eater.
Well, I used to be a fire eater until the Baal Shem Tov beard.
Okay, yeah, and probably not advisable. No. You are a glass eater. Oy vey. Do you make a bracha when you eat a... I don't even know how to answer that. You eat razor blades.
Yeah, all these things potentially could be tefillah sederach if you mess up and they take you to the hospital. But so far, I've yet to say that one.
Well, human blockhead, what's that?
That is hammering a 5-inch spike right into your nose.
I don't even know what to say to that. Bed of nails.
Wow, that's one that I don't do all too often because it's just so big and bulky and cumbersome. But I actually bought a bed of nails on that TV show Oddities. This is going back some time, or it's probably at least 10 years already. And, you know, was on the TV show, bought the old Coney Island bed of nails that they had in the shop. And I use it periodically.
Exploding hot water bottle.
Ah, so you know those red hot water bottles, right, that you use when you don't feel well, you fill it with the hot water and it.
Right.
Okay. So I take one of those and I blow into it. All right. Now I blow and I keep blowing until it pops. Now, these hot water bottles can get to the size of a basketball or about five times the size of a basketball. And I never know when they're going to pop. So that is one of the most dangerous acts that I do, because when it pops, I always wear safety goggles or safety glasses when I do that act. But from the force of that thing popping, it's smacked me in the face. I've got cuts on my face, on my arms, on my neck. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And then there's the danger where if I were to allow the air that I've blown into the water bottle back into my lungs, I'd explode my lungs.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No.
Bending nails.
Yep, that's feats of strength, ripping phone books, bending nails, ripping decks of cards in half. I do all that, and that is, that's, you know, really, again, it's physical, but it's also mental, because you might have the physical wherewithal to be able to do something like this, but it's going to hurt. You know, the when you're ripping into a deck of cards, the cards are going to dig into your fingers. So you have to work through that pain in order to achieve that goal.
Wow. Okay, so you grew up immersed in Coney Island, in the culture, in the circus. You graduated to becoming the head of the school, the professor, the Rebbe of the Coney Island freak show. I gotta ask you, I don't know why, there's something Jewish about what you do, about the escapism, the outsider insider, the whole idea of sort of double identity. I'm thinking of Houdini, famous son of a rabbi. I'm curious, see how I did this, Sherry? I'm swift. If the Jewishness has informed and infused the performance.
It absolutely has. You know, vaudeville was inherently a Jewish thing. You know, New York vaudeville, Yiddish theater. Now, this is a far cry from sideshows, but there's certainly within the New York, you know, sort of way of looking at things, you know, I give it a very Jewish slant. I mean, you know, it's no shock and no surprise. I've got, you know, a gigantic chai around my neck.
Right.
That I wear, you know, my shirt open, doesn't matter where I am. I could be, you know, down south. I could be here in New York or anywhere, you know, and I have no, and it's gotten a few words down south a couple of times, but I, you know, more often than not, I'm the strongest.
You could take the sword out of your mouth and just
take care of business.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Are you the only person in your family that went into the freak show side?
Very much so. Yeah. My parents, I don't come from a sideshow or a circus background.
But growing up in Coney Island, does it kind of like become a little bit a part of everybody because it's such a prominent thing there?
You know, they say that when you're in Coney Island, once you get the sand between your toes, you can never get it out. And that, for me, I identify with Coney Island as a community, as a neighborhood, as, you know, as an amusement district, as much as I identify with pretty much anything else within my life. It's part of who I am. It molded me. The neighborhood molded me as an impressionable kid. And, you know, I'm now, you know, a hell of a lot older than impressionable kid. And it still never ceases to amaze.
You're an institution over there. I mean, you're more than that. You are a celebrity. You're known all over the world. You've performed on TV, on shows. What's been like the most, I don't know, kind of craziest place you've performed? Everyone's got a story over here. Gotham Comedy Club, BB King's, Highland Ballroom, NYU, Princeton. I got it up. You've done it all over here.
I've done a lot.
You've even done, by the way, my son's. You've been on like TV, Jimmy Kimmel, but I'm sure the highlight was playing Ghana Israel summer camp in the Catskills. You were there. My kids were going crazy.
It was Ghana Israel in the Catskills. It was Ghana Israel in Canada. There was Ghana Israel in Jersey. Right. But one of the most interesting gigs that I had was I was flown out to Cancun for a Passover, a Pesach event. And mm-hmm. I was the opening act for a Beatles cover band. All right. Now, but you know, I mean, this isn't just the Beatles, you know, She Loves You. This was costumes. And I mean, this is theatrics. And they went through every period of the Beatles. Wow. And they fly me out to Cancun. I get the jitney or the shuttle back to the hotel. Now, this is at the Ritz-Carlton, but I wasn't staying at the Ritz-Carlton. I was staying two hotels over at the Marriott. But all my meals were at the Ritz-Carlton. So
it's like doing dancing, you know, like the acts, they don't go in the fancy.
Right, exactly. You got to keep the help, you know, a couple of hotels away.
Definitely.
So all of the food was absolutely incredible. So it's now I spent 2 days on the beach and I get out to the gig. I get there nice and early, make sure all my cues are set. I mean, I was doing literally a 15-minute show. That's it. Wow. 15 minutes. And I didn't even bring swords because I didn't know that I'd be able to fly with this. It was all stuff that I would be able to pack and carry on a plane. And I got about 4 minutes into the act and the stage manager comes on the stage and says, okay, you got to leave. We're running late. The Beatles have to go on. Okay, bye everybody. And that was it. So I did 4 minutes on stage in Cancun and got a weekend trip.
But you opened for the Beatles. Not many people can say that.
Well, I mean, a high-end Beatles cover band.
Okay, that's unbelievable. I do have to ask you, it's been on my mind, what is the state right now in Coney Island? How's it been affected by the pandemic? I'm guessing your industry is one of those that's been sadly decimated right now. You mentioned Zoom, but how do you keep it going in a pandemic?
You don't.
Well, I guess Coney Island was already kind of like had its share of, you know, ups and downs in the last few years too as well.
Well, I mean, you know, if we go back to the 70s and 80s, Coney Island was pretty rough.
Right.
Into the 90s.
They cleaned it up, right.
Yeah, they cleaned it up. I mean, it's you know, when I was growing up there, it was pretty rough, although you did have Kosher Country.
And you had the Warriors.
Yeah. You know, the Warriors. But they've cleaned it up a lot. Well, no, they cleaned up the amusement district. What's going on there now, if you go all the way towards the West End, which is where Seagate is, they put up, two luxury towers that I will say are sitting empty at the moment or pretty empty. They're putting right across from the stadium some, I guess, market rate and low income housing. The face of Coney Island from a year ago, 5 years ago to this year and a couple of years from now will be completely unrecognizable because of all of the development that's going up. But we were hit very hard. Coincidentally, today, the governor made the announcement saying that the amusements will be allowed to open on April 9th. You know, obviously with restrictions and with limited limited people, but that's a good sign. Now, as far as the sideshow goes, well, we don't know what indoor regulations are going to be, and you know, it's going to be a wait and see. But the fact that they open the amusements is only good because it means that there are going to be people in the neighborhood.
But they've raised the rent in the boardwalk area and on some of the businesses there and like the Coney Island Museum and things like that, right?
Well, all right. So I am part of the Coney Island Museum. So we're not affected by any of the rent increases. I mean, it's, you know what it is? It's an interesting topic because the company that operates Luna Park, they've leased that area. They've leased Luna Park, you know, the former Astroland area from the city. But with that lease, they were given control of boardwalk businesses, you know. So they oversee the leases on the businesses. And, you know, they've raised the rates and most businesses have agreed to work with them. And they've worked along with the businesses for the most part.
Well, we can do all the gentrification in the world, but without you, without the real man, Adam, Coney Island is just not the same. I have a couple more questions. Number one, I know Sherry is always looking for career changes. Is there a way to integrate Sherry into the Freak Museum? And she would be willing to sort health.
I've wanted to work at Bump Your Ass Off, but I'll also work at the Freak Museum. He knows what I'm talking about. It's a ride.
Oh, it's a ride.
It's a bumper car
ride.
The
Eldorado bumper cars.
Yes. Okay. And it has a sign called what I just said.
Okay. There you go.
Bump your tuchus off, right.
So Sherry would like to be sawn in half, if that's possible.
Anything is possible.
I'm grateful. Okay. I'm grateful to the Freak Show. I took my mom to it, and she, it was a bit of a shock, but, you know, it was a nice, you know.
I've met your mother. She could get okay, enough. Okay. Another question. The famous Coney Island 4th of July hot dog eating competition. As a rabbi, and Adam, you should tell the listeners, how do we know each other? What our connection is through your daughter. Just tell listeners our connection.
So my daughter graduated Pratt undergrad. There she's back. She's back doing her master's at Pratt, but not physically back. She's doing that from the living room. And so I guess she went to a whole bunch of Chabad events.
There you go. And your daughter is a phenomenal photographer. She's been in the New York Times. I mean, legit talent over here. So I see she's going to be documenting you. But we know Coney Island's famous for the hot dog eating competition, 4th of July. Would you represent your people, the Jewish people, and enter and eat kosher hot dogs?
Wait, is Nathan's...
I know Rabashkin's hot dog. I could do a deal. We could get you sponsored. How about it, Adam?
Is Nathan's kosher?
No.
I don't think so.
Nathan's is not kosher. No.
I'll get you Rabashkin's. I can get you Rabashkin's.
There's no way.
Joey Chestnut needs to be taken off his perch.
Not by Adam Realman. No way.
you tried it?
Sir, I can't. There's no way that I can compete with these guys.
Swallow a sword, you can swallow a hot dog. Surely.
He's got a point.
Right. Okay.
Literally.
I can swallow a sword and a hot dog, not 75. So there's a big difference there.
Oh, okay. You know all those guys? You're involved with that?
I was actually the opening act one year, you know, for the hot dog eating contest.
After 4 minutes or they let you?
There was a very strict timeline. Okay. I did the hot water bottle on that show.
What's been the most high-profile gig you've had? TV, news, give me something.
I've been on a whole bunch of news shows, I was most recently on the Daily Show on Comedy Central. It made the best of series for the Trump years. So that was an interesting one. I don't know. You may have Trump supporters, so we won't talk about the episode.
We don't talk about religion or politics on this show.
So there you go. But we do know that Nathan's is Trafe. So that's, Okay.
Are you a Brooklyn Cyclones fan? Do you go to any of those games?
I've been to a significant amount of games. I don't follow sports in any capacity whatsoever, but it's when you work in the neighborhood, you know the business owners, large and small. You know the small businesses and the largest. So I'll usually get comp tickets for Cyclones or for concerts in the area, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
I love some of the free concerts. I remember going to Huey Lewis and the News in Coney Island. I think it was 2013. It was amazing. It was great.
They've had some great show. Joan Jett was out there. Cheap Trick. Yeah, they've had some. But now all the shows are at the Ford Amphitheater. You got to pay now.
Yeah. It was cool when it was free.
But if you stand on a boardwalk, you can still listen.
Okay, there we go. Adam, Coney Island legend. Just to pull things together, this coming week is the Jewish holiday of Purim. See, I keep it on target. So Purim is like, it's the fancy dress. It's the costume. It's the joy. It's the joyous. I'm sure you've had many, many Purim gigs. Is that like your busiest day? What's your relationship like with the Jewish community?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, Purim is Hanukkah and Hanukkah, Sukkot and Purim are pretty busy. And then we get into the Jewish camps. So I do. This past year was absolutely nothing. I mean, this was a waste of a year. I got my second vaccination actually yesterday morning. So right now I'm still a little, I'm a little off, but,
Learned any new tricks though, during the pandemic?
I've taken this year and used it as like a semi-retirement. I mean, seriously, I've had a couple of Zoom shows. I did one live bat mitzvah. Which was outdoors, like extremely socially distant. And that was pretty much it. I mean, it's I do hope that, and I've gotten a couple of calls for Adar shows, Rosh Chodesh shows this coming weekend. I had to turn them all down until I know that, this vaccine is settled in within. And then my wife still has to get vaccinated. So I'm not rushing to get back on stage.
Is your wife in the biz too?
She paints a lot of my own banners. She didn't do the one in back of me here, but she paints all of my own personal banners. So she is in the business, but a behind the scenes type. She'll tell you that she's the woman behind the man.
Okay. Anyway, okay, you can stick David Blaine because Adam, you're the real guy. You're doing the real things. There's no, there's no hidden levers over here. There's no rabbits. This is like 100% legit, real. And I asked you if you would honor us. I know this is an audio podcast, but Sherry, you didn't know this was coming.
He just said he was in retirement.
It does. He's about to come out of retirement. This is the moment. The Phoenix.
7 minutes left in the Zoom. Go ahead.
The Phoenix is about to rise up in honor of the holiday of Purim. I want to give you a blessing because I do feel like the waters are subsiding, and hopefully we can go back to Coney Island this summer. We can go back to the museum. And in a weird way, every one of us has our own shlichas, our own mission. Every one of us can affect the world in our own ways, and what you do through entertainment, because it's not just the incredible tricks. There is something about you as a performer, as a comedian. I've encouraged many people to hire you, and you bring an X Factor. By the way, have you been on the X Factor?
American Idol? I don't do those shows where they don't pay you. Sorry.
I like that. Okay, I can make a Jewish joke, but I won't. Okay. Adam, would you honor us on an audio podcast, which is kind of moribund, with an incredible trick? Is it called tricks? What do we call them? They're not tricks. They're
not tricks. This is a feat.
Right. A feat.
Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going
ready,
to...
Ready, Sherry?
Yes.
6 minutes, Adam.
6 minutes.
It's not going to take me 6 minutes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to rip through a full deck of cards right over here. If we take a look at it, you can't see, but I'll tell you a little about a full deck.
You can see on Zoom. Sherry, can you confirm all of this is going on, Sherry, for the audience?
Okay, go.
We've got to build the and by the way, the audience don't know what's really happening. So
all right.
At this point,
we're running
Adam's
out of time.
Submerged.
He's got
he's
the cards
submerged
up.
Submerged underwater right now. Just uh-huh. Tell the audience, he's underwater.
So is his
and he's
cat.
He's completely covered in chains. He's been chained up. Okay, go.
Okay. So I've got a deck of 52 cards. These are brand new used casino cards. They're new to me, but they have been used in a Nevada casino. What I'm going to do is hold the cards in one hand. Hold them nice and square, nice and tight, not fanning them out, and ripping right through 52 cards. Now, in order to do this, I'll explain the grip. You have two fingers. I've got two fingers on my left hand, the bottom two fingers, the last two, the pinky, and the other finger next to the pinky. They get braced into those. The pointer finger and the middle finger come down on the cards. The thumb comes up on the cards. And again, I hold them in a nice, tight grip. All right? I'm going to do this right in front of the camera so that you can both watch exactly what I'm doing. So you don't, if it goes out of your view, it means that I might be fanning out the cards and ripping them one at a time. So this is going to remain in view the entire time. Sure. You can explain what's going on, but I'll probably do a decent job of explaining. I'm going to take my right hand. I put my thumb on top and I curl my four fingers, the remaining four fingers around the side of the deck. Now I'm going to take my right hand, bring it towards me, ripping through 52 cards at once.
Go.
All right. That's the key right there. A full pack of cards, not fanning them out. All right. Here we go. One. You might, if we're quiet, you might even be able to hear that initial tear. One, two, three. All right. And there we go. So now I've got down about half an inch on those cards. All right. I'm going to keep going like you might open up a jar.
Man of steel.
Let's keep going. All right. And now.
No way.
Wow.
We are currently three-quarter way through the deck of cards.
About three quarters down. Listen closely because when these cards rip, they make a beautiful snapping noise. Let's listen. And there you go.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Wow. Live on the Hipsid podcast, Adam Rin has performed feats of nature. David Blaine, eat your heart out. Uri Geller, take those spoons and put them where the sun don't shine. The real man is in the house. In honor of Purim, we want to thank Adam Rin. You rocked it. We love you. We adore you. You are the Houdini of the 21st century. You're the king of Coney Island. You are the Baal Shem Tov of the freak show. And by the way, just to put it out there, if anyone from Passover in Cancun is listening, I'm available to do a four-minute skit on Jews and superheroes, and Sherry will do anything. Sherry, for a free trip to Cancun, she'll do it. You'll mop the floor, Sherry.
I just
want
to go to a beach, you know, Coney, Cancun.
The food at these Passover, it's all about the 24-hour tea room. The food, the after food, they're fressing. These guys are millionaires and billionaires, and they're fressing on white fish like they've right. like it's like the you know.
Speaking of millionaires and billionaires, Adam, do you swim in the ocean at Coney? Yes or
absolutely.
No?
Absolutely. And what I like about Coney Island, rather than Rockaway or Long Island, is that it's the water is very still. It's like a lake, so you can really go rocks to rocks, and it's like swimming in a pool.
Polar bear. Beautiful. You polar bear it?
I've done the New Year's polar bear a few times. I don't do it regularly. I can't.
All right. On that bombshell, we have less than a minute. We want to thank Adam Realman. We want to thank Rabbits and Sherry. We want to wish everybody a Freilacha Purim. Enjoy your Hamantashen. Keep in touch. This is me, Rabbi Simcha, saying good night. Good night.
Hipsid the podcast is recorded and produced by Sherry Barkley and Rabbi Simcha. Please like and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.